I'm thinking like a little robot type person.
Yeah, pressed out in the factory.
Exactly.
And we'll all take the same track.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's hard when you have a population of 330 million. I think that's also why I like the tax credit idea, too, because that's just another option for students.
Yes, yes. And it's putting it in the hands of the parents so that they can say, you know, I'm observing this at my child at home, and I'm thinking that maybe this would be another alternative. Maybe they're not doing real well in public school, or maybe not even doing well in private school, and I want to try something else. And so I now have that choice, which I wouldn't have had before. So, Matt, you're part of this New Hampshire Center for Innovative Schools. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started and what it is that your mission is?
Well, we are a charter school support organization. Basically, what we do is we meet with groups around the state and discuss the chartering option with them. All of our services are free. We don't charge or accept payment for our work. And we're, you know, basically a charter school advocate. And I worked with the New Hampshire Department of Education to write that federal grant, and which was awarded in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you said that was a five-year grant? So
correct, 2010 to 2015.
Okay, so we've got another opportunity, that or the next opportunity will probably be the last, at least in this grant process.
Exactly. I'm hoping that we can authorize at least another four schools to open up in probably September of 2015.
Okay, and that would give us how many charter schools all over?
That would be 26 total in the state. Operating around the state.
That'd be great.
I think it'd be wonderful. It'd give these kids options in the North Country, down in the South, and over in the Keene area, too.
Oh. Okay. And are any of them, like, really specialized? Like, are they, they're ones that are just for the theater arts, for example? Or
The new school coming, Gate City Charter School in Nashua, will be a K through 8, and it's going to use an arts integrated program.
Oh. Cool.
Really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And are there other ones that are in practice now or who are coming along that are more specific like that? Or,
you know, what I think is interesting is the Founders Academy, they are going to try to open in January 2014, and that's going to be the first charter school in the state that is specifically designed towards leadership. Their mission is aimed at creating next-generation leaders, with a curriculum focusing on leadership, history, ethics, debate. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, Matt Southerton is from the New Hampshire Center for Innovative Schools, and he helps to get charter schools started. And now, Matt, when these charter schools that what I wanted to know is, are there any charter schools who have closed their doors because they didn't succeed, or are there any that are encountering certain challenges that they had not anticipated, that are, you know, that are insurmountable type challenges?
Well, definitely the most pressing problem for public charter schools is funding, like any other public school. Charter schools receive about $54.98 per student, and I believe the state average is around $12,000. So it's less than half the average cost per pupil. There were two charter schools that closed, I believe. One was in Rochester, the Equestrian Academy, and then there was another one that closed, and both of those were just due to enrollment problems. They didn't have enough students, and they weren't able to, you know, be sustainable financially.
Okay, so now where do they get their sustainability in addition to what's provided by the federal government?
Well, it's really interesting. They receive $54.98 directly from the state, and then any additional funds that they need are really made up through the parents and, you know, through fundraising, and they form strategic partnerships. Take Academy for Science and Design, for example, in Nashua. They've received quite a bit of not financial funding, but equipment and materials from BAE and other colleges and businesses in their area.
Okay, so they're almost semi-private, I guess is how you might go, because there's getting some public funding, but they're still operating in some ways like a private school would, trying
well,
to get.
They're definitely public schools, and any child can choose to attend, but they are more entrepreneurial and independent.
But they can't charge a tuition, is that correct?
Exactly, no tuition.
Okay, so it is public funded, but it is also through the generosity and working partnerships out with other people that they're able to succeed.
Exactly, and quite honestly, they're generally, they have to be more efficient than your typical public school because they don't have those larger budgets.
And efficiency in what ways, Matt?
Well, I think probably the biggest factor is that charter schools are not currently unionized.
Oh.
So, you know.
Is that
they can hire and fire depending on who is the best teacher.
Okay. So that's an advantage, though, isn't it? Because
absolutely,
you're constantly looking at the performance of the children and whether the parents are happy with it.
Absolutely.
Are you finding that parents are far more involved than they are in the public schools in general?
I believe that they are, definitely. I think they're a lot more involved with their students' education and the school itself.
That's fantastic. So what lies out in the future for you?
Well, you know, I think that we're going to be probably working to open another 4 to 8 charter schools over the next few years, and then we'll have to see if we can win another federal grant for the state.
Now, if someone wants to talk to you about charter schools, how do they get in touch with you?
Let's see, you can call our office at 224-0366 or go online to www.nhcharterschools.org.
Okay, that's great. Now, you also mentioned something about the tax credit. Can you enlighten our audience a little bit about that? That's not to do with charter schools necessarily,
right,
but it the is tax, another option.
Yeah, the tax credit's a pretty interesting program. I don't know a lot about it, but I know that NEO, the Network for Education Opportunities, is involved in that, and basically what it is a business, I believe a business can choose to write off, to take a tax credit from the state and then donate money directly to that organization, which then funds scholarships for lower income students.
Right, and that was a hard-fought battle, but it was one, however, I think it's tied up in the courts a little bit still, but I think they're still going on. And I can't wait to get Kate Baker, who is the executive director on that, online, so she can bring us up to date on
absolutely
what's happening.
She's because terrific, and she's fought really hard for that.
She has. She's been she hasn't been a one-man band. I know that there are others that are helping her, but sometimes
right.
You'd think that she was the one-man band because she's so excited and enthused about that program. But I'm delighted about the charter schools finally breaking loose from the misunderstanding that was going on last time, and I'm so happy to hear that we didn't lose money as a result of it, and that you're starting to open up new charter schools next year.
Exactly. We're going to give those kids options, you know?
Right. Now, Matt, give us a little bit of background, too, on is there any measurable type of information that shows that charter schools are doing a better job?
And how do they compare to your traditional public school?
Exactly.
I believe that in New Hampshire, only about maybe 50% of your traditional schools made adequate yearly progress in mathematics and reading. However, charter schools are much higher than that. And I think one thing that you want to relate to your listeners is that out of the public charter schools that are high schools, the majority of those schools are for kids that are at risk of dropping out or that have already dropped out. So, you know, we're getting a second chance to help those kids who would have otherwise not really finished their education.
Interesting. Very, very good point, because you're right. It it does, it's because it's a little bit more tailor-made to what they're looking for, their parents are looking for them, you do get a little bit, I would imagine you get a little bit more excitement and enthusiasm about the subjects that they're exploring.
Exactly. And if, you know, you have your if you have your program tailored towards the arts or science or mathematics, we want to reach those kids rather than have them sort of drop off the cliff and not really, you know, perform to what they could have done otherwise.
Exactly. Now, is there a list anywhere where our listeners could go and find out if there are charter schools close to them that they might be interested in finding more information on?
There is. You can go to our website and click on approved charter schools, and that will say, that will give you a list of all the charter schools in the state and their locations. Or you could go on the New Hampshire Department of Education website also.
Oh, that's that. I didn't think about the fact that, but they would absolutely have to list that because it would be, since they're also funding it, it would be a good idea for them to keep track of them, right?
Exactly. And you can look up their test scores and financial reports and all of those other good things that a public school has to.
Oh, good. Good. Well, that's fantastic. So, Matt, is there anything that you want to impress upon our listeners before I let you go?
I think that I just think that students deserve options, students deserve choices, and that charter schools may be an sort of an avenue that their child might want to explore.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is Matt Southerton from the New Hampshire Center for Innovative Schools that supports innovative public school options. And if people want to get in touch with you again, how would they do that?
They could go to our website at www.nhcharterschools.org or check us out on Facebook.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. It's been great to talk to you, and I am so excited that you've broken through.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And so that was Matt Southerton, and he mentioned the charter schools, and we also have, I think she's on WSMN, Julianne Cooper, Dr. Julianne Cooper, who actually started the Liberty Harbor Academy in Manchester. And that was, that was a dream that she and her husband had of teaching children in a different sort of a way, one that's far more traditional, going back to primary source documents and bringing them around in an interesting method of teaching. And she really fires her kids up too. So it's all about helping our young people find that way of learning that it excites them, so that when they that learning becomes something that they want to do, that it is not a chore, it's not something that I have to do, it's something that I really want to do because energy has been sparked in my mind. And not every child has that same way of learning. There are some children that are auditory learners. There are others that do much better when they can actually see or write something. And that's the beauty of individualized learning. And of course, when we go to private schools, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that smaller classroom so that our child can have more one-on-one attention. And that's what we see in our homeschoolers, because they really do get one-on-one attention. Although if you're child is like mine, I tried that with one of mine, actually two of them, and but the one that was really going to get the most of the homeschooling didn't help pan out as well, because she's such a social kid that and she also knew how to manipulate me a whole lot. So it was much better to let her finally spread her wings at a small private school. And then she said, I need a bigger school. So we went to an even larger private school called Trinity in Manchester. And it was an excellent choice. And we were very, very happy with the results. But every child learns differently. I had another child who was in a public school and did just fine in public schools. So it's not so much that we're being totally critical about a school. It's just that we're more attuned to what it is our children have in their learning style that we want to make sure that they get excited about exploring all of the things that there are in the world, and that they don't drop through the cracks and find alternative ways that are not necessarily healthy for them to explore. And that's what parental choice in education should really be all about, is finding that opportunity for your child to achieve the very, very best that they can be. And when we provide that, it's the best for them. On the other hand, watch out for Common Core, because it's going to impact all of our school choices. It's something that concerns me a great deal. And as we've had Anne Marie Banfield and Doris Hohensee and others in the forum that Cornerstone Policy Research put on addressing Common Core, is on their website at nhcornerstone.org, or you can also go to granitegrok.com and watch that taping of that presentation of that forum, because it was extremely good and very in depth. Something that you should be happy to find out more and more about, because I think that the thing that is the most frightening or disturbing about what's going on with this is everything is going online. And I was talking to a doctor last week who was telling me about how he had closed his business. And the main reason was over the years, there have been more and more requirements for additional equipment, and primarily computer type equipment, so that we can now start collecting all of their information. So their reporting now had to go online through the computer system within the office. But then doctors are now moving from their individual private practices to going underneath a hospital for management, primarily too because their insurance costs were going up, their overhead costs were going up, etc. But this particular doctor, who employed six employees to help him with his practice, is closing his doors this afternoon. And the primary purpose, our problem, was that they were now going to be required to buy more software and computer or technology that would have them collect more and more data on their patients. And it also reduced the amount of time that they actually had to spend with their patients. I'm hearing that from patients who are calling up and finding out that it's taking them longer to get an appointment because of the requirements under Obamacare and other things that are going on. Their patient load is being reduced if they want to give that patient the same amount of time that they've done before. Others are continuing to see their patients, but if you'll notice, when you go in as a patient, you're finding out that instead of getting 10 minutes of the doctor's time, you now get 5 minutes of the doctor's time for various things. So it really is a problem, and something that you really need to be aware of, find out about it, and then let your voices be heard. Carol Shea Porter's phone number is 202-225-5456. I'm sorry I'm not giving you local numbers, because I don't have them at my fingertips, which is not a good thing for a radio host not to do. But I'm sorry that I am apologizing for that right now, and hoping that you will forgive me. And Annie Custer's phone number is 202. Oh, shoot. I hate that when they do these things for me. But her number is 202-225-6205. I'm sorry, 5206. 202-225-5206 for Annie Custer. And again, Carol Shea Porter's number was 202-225-5456. Be sure to call them and let them know how you think things ought to be going on this latest continuing resolution. If you don't get involved and let your voices be heard, we have no one else to blame except for ourselves, folks, because this is the way our government was set up to be run. It was supposed to be limited. And, you know, it's very interesting. If you go back to the Constitution, they would have three things that our government was supposed to do. One was to make sure that we had provide us with a good infrastructure. That means being able to communicate and get from place to place on our roads. It meant that we were supposed to have a fair commerce exchange, so we deal with business in a fair way, not dictated, but in a fair way between businesses. And then the third one was to provide for a national defense, to protect ourselves from other countries and from one another in some cases. So if our government is expanding and doing things that it shouldn't, be sure you let them know that this is not the way you want to go. So you you have to let your voices be heard, because it's we the people who are the ones that are supposed to be in charge. And if when we allow it to go by the wayside, then we have no one else to blame but ourselves. And it's time that we took America back, that we start fighting for our freedoms. And we can't do it just by ourselves, but collectively, when you get on the phone and somebody else gets on the phone, look at what they did out in Colorado. They decided that those legislators who were trying to restrict their ability to exercise their Second Amendment as provided for under the Constitution, that those Congress or that those legislators should go. And so they actually recalled them. And one of them was in a very safe district, so to speak. But they turned that one right around. Look at Ted Cruz down in Texas. They said that his party wouldn't even get behind him, and yet the grassroots rose up and said, this is the kind of person we want to have representing us, and they elected him. Look at the bikers down in Washington, D.C., when they found out that there was supposed to be a million-man Muslim march. So someone in less than 3 weeks actually sent out an email and said, do you know what would happen if we as bikers showed up and started to protest, or, you know, showed the other side of, not necessarily to protest, but to show the other side of the picture? What would happen? They had thousands of bikers show up in Washington, D.C., and just a handful of those Muslims, that I guess the million man march was supposed to be multiplied by thousands for everyone that was there, because they only had less than two dozen, I understand, that actually came. But those bikers were out there, and you know, the nice thing about them is they make a lot of noise, and so we knew that they were there. You can make a difference, and it's one person taking a stand and saying, this is where, what I believe, talking to their neighbors. And as you talk to your neighbors and they agree with you, and that's how we get things done in America. And that's what is so terrific about this country, is that we actually can do that. We can actually get together. And our government is not supposed to be intimidating us. It's not supposed to be on our phone lines. It's not supposed to be investigating everything we do. We're supposed to be able to have clear thoughts. And not all of us are always going to agree, but it's okay for us to think and to be thoughtful about what we want to do, and then to congregate together and share those thoughts with others, and not have someone come along and say, no, no, you cannot think that way. You cannot behave that way. I mean, look at this father down in Maryland who simply wanted to ask questions and was bullied out of the meeting. He was arrested. That sort of stuff is not America. And if we don't stand up and exercise our rights and let our voices be heard, we're going to lose the opportunity for that to happen. So, folks, I'm really counting on you to get out there and participate. America's worth saving. We are not completely gone. We have not completely been taken over by a tyrannical form of government, but we're getting very, very close. And if we're not waking up and seeing that, then we're going to lose the opportunity to be. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths on WSMN 1590. See you on Monday.
Because I maintain a good work ethic and plan for my good health, working out regularly. I didn't take unnecessary...